Okay, I want to check some sound levels.
Yeah, I was surprised, you know, pleasantly.
Cool.
Is this the cover photo or cover art we have?
No, that's the poster art.
Okay, because I like that too, but I was like, that's not the same.
And we'll talk about that.
Yeah, we will.
Can I see it? Because I'm now curious.
And then, like I told you.
Yeah, that was our initial poster, I guess.
Yep. Huh.
But then the distributor decided to do a new one for the DVD cover, so that's what happened.
Oh, that's that scene.
Yep, that's
now I figured out what that was. That's the shirt. That's not some type of wood that I've never.
Okay, let's get started.
All right, so we're going to do this?
Yep, here we go.
This is Mike Mundy, a walker from The Walking Dead, and you're listening to Comic Pop Library.
Whatever you do, I'll do it too. Show me everything and tell me how. It all means something and yet nothing to me. Oh, I can see there's so much to learn. It's all so close and yet so far. I see myself as people see me. Oh, I just know there's something bigger out there.
And welcome to another episode of Comic Pop Visits, brought to you by Comic Pop Library. I'm Richard, along with
Lenny,
Jacob,
and Logan.
And tonight we are in the house with Russ Emanuel again. So Russ, thank you for coming back.
Thank you for having me again.
And if you remember, he is the director of Occupants. That's going to be our main topic of discussion tonight, plus what he's going to be working on that'll be coming out in the future. So we'll be discussing all those different the allocades that he's gotten, just some of the stuff. We've mentioned this before, but with Russ, he's been in the production studios for since 2002. He founded his Russum Productions, and he's done short films, feature films. He's done in 2003 the award-winning Girl with a Gun. The Occupants, he's won several awards with that. So has his screenwriter, Julia. And I'm sure there's probably others that he can probably mention that I do not have, but it's like you've racked up a trophy case full with just this one feature, Russ.
No. Yeah, there's Occupants has been treating me pretty well, so I'm very grateful for that.
But and you've been fortunate enough, you've kind of went about Occupants a little bit differently. We talked about this the first time. You went through Indiegogo, and can you, if there's anybody new listening and hasn't listened before, just briefly mention the concept of how that came about, you and Julia working together, and then moving forward into actually shooting.
Okay, sure. Do you want me to describe what the film is about first?
Yeah. All in one shot, or if you want me to, I can.
Yeah, I can do it. So Occupants is a feature film. It's a sci-fi horror thriller in the found footage kind of subgenre. And it's about a young couple named Annie and Neil Curtis, and they do this raw vegan detox diet. And she's a documentarian, so she sets up cameras all over their house. And while they're on their diet, they inadvertently capture a parallel version of themselves. So what starts off as sci-fi becomes pure horror when the parallel couple turns out to be, well, not the best people in the world. I guess would be the best way to put it.
It's a goth and world. Is what
yeah, so, that's, I mean, I don't want to give it away, but you know, basically, there is a horrific aspect to this film, and we have a Star Trek veteran actor in the film, Robert Picardo. He plays Dr. Alan Peterson in the film. So that's what that's about. Now, as for Julia Camera, the writer, what happened was our producer, Howard Nash, he found her on a screenwriting site, basically. And this was back in January 2014. And he loved the idea because it's basically two main actors or two characters in one house. And so it could be done for very cheap, basically. And that's what he was thinking, you know. In terms of as a producer, you know, to get the investors their money back, you know, to make money. So he was saying, this is great, this is great. So, you know, I've worked with Howard since the feature film PJ, which we did in 2006. So this was our fourth feature together since PJ. And so he's like, Russ, I have this script. It's incredible. You know, we got to do this. And I read it. I'm going, wow, this is good. This is really, really good. So we signed, we optioned the script in February. And she said yes because, and she's a director herself, but she said yes because we had access to Robert Picardo. Because we can get him. And it turns out that her husband, Tim, is a big fan of Mr. Picardo.
There you go.
So we're like, you know, and she decided to change the character from a female to a male.
Okay.
She's never done that before, she said. So this was like the first time she did this because it's Robert Picardo. I'm like, that's pretty cool.
Serious Star Trek fan there.
I probably already explained that we've been geeking around at the different Comic Cons, right? This film has gotten into a lot of Comic Cons, and she and I, we've just been going all over. It's been a ride. I love Julia, so you know. But this is way before then when I didn't even know who this woman was. She had no idea who I was, right? And we met up and we discussed the script, we took it from there. Then we started the crowdfunding. You were mentioning Indiegogo. We started that in June or July, I think. And what we had to do is I recorded a introduction video. And basically I introduced myself and I said, okay, here are the films I've done before. And you could trust us because I've worked with, you know, Picardo or, you know, whoever. And I did this and that. And you can see my films on Amazon or, you know, I just was trying to sell it so that they'd be like, why would you want to contribute to somebody who has no idea what he's doing? I want to show them that I do know what I'm doing, so you could trust me. And we were able to raise 106% on Indiegogo, and the film was greenlit, basically. So we shot, when did the campaign end? I think it ended in August, and we shot in late September of 2014.
Okay.
So that's where that process is. And of course, then we auditioned the actors and actresses, Michael Pliassi. We cast as Neil Curtis and Brianna White. She was one of 27 actresses, and she was one of the last to audition. And I was glad that, you know, we were able to bring her in because she is Annie Curtis, and she's definitely parallel Annie Curtis. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Sets might have been anyway, interesting.
That's basically how it came together, if that answers your question.
One of the things with the casting of Brianna and Michael, to me, it's like, and Robert Picardo, nothing to slight him, of course, no. But the two characters that really anchor this movie is Brianna and Michael's characters.
Yeah.
They seem to mesh perfectly, and with me, this film was easier to watch because they were easy to watch.
Yeah.
And if it hadn't had that chemistry, and that's me, I don't know about the rest of the guys, they can chime in as well, but that's what made the film was their chemistry and being able to watch them like they were just natural.
Well,
you know what? I will tell them, and I'm sure they very much appreciate that, because you're correct. If the actors weren't properly cast, I'm telling you, this would have been a snooze fest.
Yeah.
You have 81 minutes in one house, and it could have been the most boring movie ever. So I'm just really, really, I'm going to say this word again, grateful that we cast the right actors, because you're right. That chemistry was so important. And I was just really, really just happy that it worked, you know?
Quick question. Were the little, what would they be called?
Little
bits
what?
Of static in the very beginning, were those just time skips or were those already parallel bits showing through?
Oh, those?
Yeah.
Well, that's up to you. That's up to the audience.
Yeah.
you know, I mean, is it? I mean, could it be just regular skips or could it be parallel skips? I don't know.
Maybe it's bad film editing.
I can't explain too much because it would give it away.
Right.
But I mean, for anybody who has seen it, the skips are important. So,
yeah,
they get even more important as the story progresses. There's an arc to the skips, I guess. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, with the, let's see, what do I want to go with? I can make a rude comment, but I'll probably, wow. Or Comic Pop. I got to do this. I'm a dirty old man. If you had a one house film and wanted it exciting, you can go a different route, but you didn't. So I'll leave it at
you
that.
You could have left those cameras in the bedroom. But
yeah.
Hey, Jonathan.
Better late than never.
Here comes Mr. Jonathan.
Trying to outdo me with the Power Rangers.
Hey there.
And it's the same style, too. pretty much at least.
Now, I got to say one thing that, like, I mean, as I was watching it, the one thing that, like, it flashed across, and it's a one-off thing that you could easily miss, because I almost missed it the first time. It's when they're watching the videos that Dr. Peterson sends them of all the people that are giving their testimonials. And yes. you get to the French lady, and, you know, I was kind of, I won't lie, I was only kind of half paying attention to the testimonials. And then she's talking, she's like, I don't know German, but the word, but she's like, I understood the word Reich. And I was like, yep. And like when that flashed across, like, that drew me in even more, because I was like, wait a second. I was like, is it, you know, because I was one, then I began thinking, okay, is there a parallel universe that they're watching, this one where, like, the United States doesn't win World War II? Kind of like,
right. With
I like how it's so geocentric. And that's what I was starting to say as well with two actors. They better have chemistry. But you guys pretty much did all that. So I just left it alone. But with it being so centered on that house, as if the world outside the house almost doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And then it makes me, obviously, their world does. And I totally believed that they were leaving for work and stuff. Mm-hmm. It was sold. But it made me wonder, is this a bubble of a alternate dimension that, you know, is strictly created by their conflux with it? Or is it an entire world where there's this very specific alternate dimension? And exactly, is it like a SS-driven world that's completely opposition of the way things are today?
Right.
So it was pretty cool. And it was a mind bender, so you don't really get to know those kind of things.
Well, you know, that's a very interesting perspective. I really I will tell Julia about that. I like that.
And then one of the things I had, and I have not researched this, but it's like a diet can cause this. Is where did she dream up this, or is that actually out there?
I wanted to ask: is that something that is from life? Is it art imitating life, or is it the other way around? Is what I was kind of wondering too. Yeah. Did she have any? I mean, or do you know? I mean, a lot of times we think, oh, this is so realistic. There's got to be some sort of real world, and they're just like, no, I just came up with it. So, well, both would work.
I know that was it Julia? She came up with the concept on a flight to Brazil. I am so sorry.
No, that's all right.
I am so sorry. Can you hold on 1 second?
No, that's cool.
Go for it.
That's happened to us in an interview before. Actually, it was fake. Never mind.
I know what you're talking about now.
Yeah, right.
I'm sorry about that. So, where were we again?
Basically, figuring out how Julia came up with the concept. Did she find some actual information about the vegan diet actually causing this in some sites, or is this
organic her own vegan idea? Diet.
Well, so it's something no one would do. She came up with a lot of it on a flight to Brazil in 2013, from what I recollect. You know, obviously, she would be better at explaining.
Right.
But she did come up with that. You know, she herself is a filmmaker, so the filmmaker aspect, that was that, you know, for Annie Curtis. And as for the raw vegan diet, I don't know. Maybe she was on one. I have no idea.
Okay. But,
you know, I thought it was perfect for this film. Okay. Because it's such a, honestly, a raw vegan detox diet sounds like a Hollywood fad.
Yeah, right? I mean, that's what I was just saying. No one's gonna do that, so
maybe
there's no way
to test
it.
Like you're doing with smoking.
Yeah.
There you go.
I don't know what that means, but thank you.
Basically, instead of going raw vegan, we get one chicken nugget every week or something like that.
It's a diet of anything. Weaning yourself off of it.
Yeah.
You have a parallel dimension experience.
Yeah, but remember with a raw vegan detox diet, and this is really the interesting thing, because there's vegan food, right? True. And a lot of it is kind of fried, and I've tried it, and some of it is quite good, but this is raw.
Okay.
So nothing can be cooked, anything, zero.
Okay.
I mean, if you want to make spaghetti sauce, you just smash some tomatoes, that's it. You can't do anything but that's the only thing. If you want a seasoning, I guess you're going to have to shred some nuts or something. You know, that's what our production designer Tatiana Kolonoff did for the lasagna they were eating.
Right.
And it was gross. That's what the actors were. Luckily, I didn't try it.
I met some people in Holland that were raw vegans. really? Lifetime were like, you know, real into it. This was back in 2005 when I was there, and they seemed like they're from another dimension.
Well, did they really? I mean, maybe they aren't from another dimension. You never know.
Oh man, this one guy, you could make a movie about him. And he was, you know, I was in Holland, so there was a lot of smoking going on. Well, that wasn't cool with him either. I mean, he was a total like burnout straight out of the 70s. But so he was basically the salesman for a prototype water vaporizer that would replace a bong. So I don't know if you need to edit this for
we don't care.
This was in Holland. It was totally legal.
That's so funny.
It's almost as legal as Colorado.
You know, I was just in Colorado. And yeah. You know what? You are correct. I see bongs everywhere.
It's totally a real thing. They're down for it.
Oh, they're really down. I did like pot candy, you know, pot stickers. I mean, they say, like, I love pot, you know.
Scratch and sniff. I mean, you can do scratch and sniff now.
Aren't pot stickers the skewers of meat, though?
Yeah.
Yes, no, I'm pretty sure that name's already taken.
That's very clever.
I'm pretty sure that name's already taken.
Oh gosh, that's good. That's a good play on words there. Oh god, you said you were going to conventions a lot, Russ. Were you into the community before, or did the conventions kind of draw you into the community?
Well, you know, it's funny. Funny you say that. Actually, my first visit to Comic Con was in 2006. That's when that Girl with Gun, you mentioned that short film, it got into the Comic Con, the film festival there. And when I say Comic Con, I mean San Diego Comic Con.
Right
on.
So that was my first real taste. But even before then, I did a Star Trek fan film when I was in high school. This is back in 94, 95. So I owned Star Trek outfits. I, you know, been dressing up in them. I guess I did not know the term was cosplaying. But, you know, I would dress up during Halloween, you know, people would call me Sulu, but, you know, and so I love Star Trek. You know, I own, and this will age me, but I own every episode of The Next Generation on VHS.
There you go.
Nice.
Yes. I was so happy when I completed that collection, and then DVDs started to get popular. Oh, yeah.
Jean-Luc Picard forever.
Now I have
I love Next Generation. So
I'm a huge Next Generation fan too. I get a little gaff about that around here, but I don't care.
I just don't notice at all.
Well, for me, it's season 3 and season 6 are the best. I just love those seasons. So that's just me.
Yeah.
Do you find yourself sentimentally attached to the videos?
What's that?
Do you find yourself sentimentally attached to the videos because that's what you got them on first?
You mean the VHS? No, you know what? I'm watching stuff on my phone now. It's just so simple. I don't even have to get out of bed. I just, you know, watched House of Cards season 5
on your phone.
You have Netflix. I have Netflix. I have Amazon. So I just watch stuff.
You're just flowing just along with technology.
Yeah, I mean, it's making me and maybe a lot of people lazy, but you know, it's just so accessible. So no, honestly, I haven't touched that VHS collection in years. It's just sitting somewhere in two boxes. You know, maybe it's worth something. Maybe it's worth nothing. I don't know.
The thing is, instead of laying down and doing the portable thing, you go for a walk and do the portable thing. Except for then the sun ruins it, so yeah.
That's the problem, is the sun.
The sun and the whole having to watch where you're walking thing.
Oh, no, that's no problem at all.
True. You live in Lakin. In L.A., that will get you killed.
You just don't have to move anywhere other than in just straight lines back and forth across the sidewalk in front of your home.
No, you can use it. You can use it on like a gym bike,
that's perfect place to do an elliptical. You can elliptical House of Cards.
Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah. That one actually works because it's inside, so you don't have the sun ruining it.
Well, so I guess basically to answer your question, I did know about the comic book conventions, but it was because of Girl with Gun that I was first. Became a part of then. We got into the Phoenix Comic Con. I met my very good friend Eric Kask, who was running the film festival at that time. So when Occupants got into both Comic Con and the Phoenix, it was kind of like like a full circle. You know, it was a different festival director for Phoenix, and it was the same one actually for Comic Con, Adam Neese. But for Phoenix, it was Jacob O'Neill, and we were awarded our first prize there, which was the second place of the festival. They gave us $100 the first time I've ever won cash. Nice. You know, it was very surreal. Julia was there, Brianna was there, who else? Eric was there. I mean, it was just a wonderful, wonderful experience, and it just caught us all off guard. I mean, we were happy, but we were definitely caught off guard. So, and since then, we went to the, like, Florida SuperCon, or, you know, I'm sorry, you were saying?
I said, then the waterfall happened. It just started coming all over.
Yeah, you know, it's been a very interesting experience, and I it's just amazing. You know what I love going to these Comic Cons is seeing all these different outfits, because there are some really incredible outfits. I was just at Wrathicon, where we screened Occupants at the Athena Cinema, and Assassin's Apprentice, which is an upcoming film I'll talk about. And there's this one guy, he was dressed as Count Chocula, and really tall, and it just stood out, literally, you know? I mean, it was just like, it's like, how in the world do you walk around in that? I think he has to go on stilts or something. But, you know, it's just, you know, some people, they really use their imagination. And another one, I saw one of the first ones for Occupants Farpoint, I think. I saw a Klingon Stormtrooper ballerina. He had a tutu and a tiara, and he was drunk. So, you know, I mean, people get very inventive.
Yeah, true. Nice. That is true.
And did you say that first one you mentioned was Count Chocula?
Yes, Count Chocula.
Did you see any of the other three? Or was that just...
There's quite a few.
No, it was just Count Chocula. And it was so obviously Count Chocula, but he was really tall. I mean, taller than basically his suit extended way taller than he actually was.
That's interesting.
Yeah, and I met these two people there, and I helped put on their claws, because they were sloths.
Oh, cool. There you go.
Did you have to go very slowly?
I was like, hey, you know, but I wasn't dressed up, but, you know, I was like, hey, let me help you out there, because I was watching them, right? They were, like, painting on their, I guess they did, like, not super glue, but something, some kind of resin to put the nails on. But I'm going, okay, I know you can help your girlfriend, but how come when your girlfriend start, you know, or when you start putting it on, and how are you going to do your other hand? And he's like, you're right. It's not possible. So, yeah, anyway.
Sometimes you don't think of things.
Yep.
So I had some great times. You know, I love these Comic-Cons. These conventions are amazing. They're very inventive. You
should come to one in Kansas.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, I would love to. I would love to come to one in Kansas. My dad, he actually grew up in Kansas.
Nice. So, what part?
He was in Kansas City.
Okay. Shout out to Missouri. No, I'm just kidding.
not the Missouri part. Yeah.
Oh, Kansas City, Kansas. That's pretty rare.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. But it's like, what is the Kansas part of Kansas City called? I forgot. Because you're right, there's Kansas City, Missouri, right?
And then it's just Kansas City, Kansas, but it's more an industrial part of the city.
There's some people do live in Kansas City, Kansas. It's not a totally devoid of that kind of development, but then Overland Park is mostly a suburb.
That's it, Overland Park.
Overland Park. And see, Overland Park is basically, it's in the same county as Kansas City, Kansas, so it's pretty much the city on the Kansas side.
Yeah, well,
I'll be there next week.
I actually went there for Occupants for the Kansas International Film Festival.
Nice.
Okay.
So, of course, everybody's asking me, you know, try to find Superman's birth. Was it his childhood home? And was it the ruby slippers?
Yeah. Yep.
We've actually been
there hidden.
Both places for us two. Yep. I know at least most of them have gone to the Smallville.
True. Some of us have.
Now, Smallville is only actually the surrogate home of, I mean, Hutchison's only the surrogate home of
Smallville.
Of Smallville, right? Yeah.
Is
the Yellow Brick Road in Liberal real, or did they just put that in for a gag?
No, it's real.
One they really used?
Yeah, if you follow it, you can get to the wizard.
Well, let's go.
They actually have these places?
Yes.
Are you filming me? I know they have...
Because we are always filming.
Hutchison has claimed that they're supposedly the closest thing in Kansas that's Smallville.
Well, and they can
so
have
they
it.
Have a Smallville.
That's fine,
convention.
Yeah. They have a convention there. We've been to it. It's pretty decent.
Liberal Kansas pretty much claims themselves as the place where Wizard of Oz takes place, the farm and everything.
So of course, they used a lot of Kansas to film that movie. Yeah. Like, a lot.
get back, we dive down a rabbit hole, but to get back to Occupants, it is actually available on Amazon right now. It is one where I did purchase it. We're going to be placing it within our library, so that'll be available for people to see that way or through interlibrary loan. But when we went on there, and this has happened a few times, that you get some supplies in and then they shrink. And I just checked right before this interview and they were down to 4 left, more on the way. So that has to make you feel pretty good.
But I'm using this word again, grateful. I'm just very grateful that people like this film. So, yeah.
And with all the screenings you've had in the conventions, it kind of...
They actually know what they're
getting. Right, they know what they're getting.
It just looks good.
So that makes...
Yeah, I really wish I could talk about the movie more.
well, you know what I'm happy about, actually? Because I even got a copy myself, right? I was happy that they included all the behind-the-scenes videos that I worked my butt off.
I love the... I watched the Indiegogo, and Richard actually saw it on... Indiegogo, but I just saw it today. So I actually watched that today too, and I thought that was really cool that you included that for those people that sponsored the movie and just for everyone else to know that this is how this was done. I thought that was really awesome because I've actually had friends that have worked with sites like that. I don't think I know anyone that's actually worked with that one. I've never heard of it, but I'm pretty sheltered, so.
And this is one of the areas you've gone to is Indiegogo, and I think you've gone to that for your next feature that you're working on as well, which is the Assassin's Apprentice.
So, yes, we did Indiegogo. We also did Kickstarter.
Okay, you did Kickstarter too? Okay.
Yeah. And so you want me to talk about that film?
Well, since that's kind of where you're at, I don't really want you to say a whole lot, but I know you can maybe mention a little bit since... You know,
can I just say one? Oh, I'm sorry. Ahead. Can I just say one thing about when you said that title? And this is, I'm sorry, I'm saying this. You probably have to edit it out. Whenever you said that title, I was thinking maybe they should call it the Assassin's Apprentices because I imagine being assassins, you lose a lot of apprentices, you know, in training. That's got to be pretty rigorous. And, like, so you'd, like, need, like, at least 12 to get a living one. But that was just, sorry, I don't even know where that came from.
Assassin's
sounds Creed. Fun.
Yeah. Yeah, sounds fun.
I was just thinking maybe Assassin's Creed meets Ranger's Apprentice. But
there you go.
I wasn't going there, but...
But you are working on the Assassin's Apprentice. You've wrapped up Occupancy. You're moving on. You have probably some others in the fire, but if you want to mention that, so since everybody that's familiar with your work or new people that are listening kind of know... Not give us everything, of course, but kind of let us know kind of like what's going on with that.
Well, yeah, there's actually three projects. Two are in post-production, one's in pre-production, and I'll talk about them. So Assassin's Apprentice, we shot in December, and it's about a female assassin in training. She has to do one final mission, but she does it her own way, and that's what the film is about. And we got Robert Picardo back. He plays Pete. We got Marina Sirtis from... Next Generation, which was very surreal, and she plays Miranda. And then Tara Page plays Kaylee, the apprentice. So, we shot that. Right now it's in post-production. We're close to locking picture, so that's where we are with that film.
Okay.
We should have a premiere in a couple months, and it'll probably be somewhere in Los Angeles, is my guess.
Okay.
And then we'll go the festival route. It's to herald a trilogy of feature films, basically. So that's why Ms. Sirtis and Bob Picardo, they both signed on to this concept.
Okay.
And then I directed a film called Caller, and I did that in January. Oh, and I should tell you, Assassin's Apprentice is the brainchild of Paul Hickman. And Howard Nash was one of the producers, and so was Ryan T. Husk. And Ryan and Howard as producers, and then, Paul Hickman as the writer, executive producer, basically. It was a really fun experience. And with Collar, it's a brainchild of Troy Gabaldon. He's the producer-writer. He hired me because we met at the Downtown Los Angeles Film Festival where our films were playing. We just befriended each other. Then we realized we're both at Shriekfest. And when Occupants won at Shriekfest, Shriekfest is one of the top horror festivals in like the LA area. That's when he basically offered me this gig. So, I was very pleasantly surprised. And, the budget was already there. And he says, Russ, I would love for you to direct this. I'm like, wow, that's pretty cool. So cool. We did that in January, and where are we right now? We just finished the score. It's we finalized June. The credit. So it's going to be done at the end of this month.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah, that one is very interesting. I can't really give it away, but if you go to russem.com, R-U-S-S-E-M, as in Mary.com, that's my website, and you can see the links to every film, including Assassin's Apprentice, this one, Collar, and then you can see the official trailer.
Okay.
On that site. So we just did that. And then I'm working with Howard Nash again on the Whisper Project it's called. And that one is our next feature film, basically. And okay. So Howard and I, that'll be our fifth feature film. We start shooting July 10th. And so, it's a crime thriller. That's all I can say about okay. it right now.
Yeah. But Collar and The Assassin's Apprentice are shorts, though? Is that?
Yes, that's okay. correct. Yeah, they're concept pieces. And, you know, with Collar, it's kind of like there's like a superhero aspect to it. So it's very likely, you know, it's one of those kind of concept pieces. It's very controversial, but it makes for such a great character that you can spread it out in like a TV series. So that's okay. what we're trying to do right now. Yeah.
So if you get ground and it looks like Assassin's Apprentice is already, the trailer has already won or at least have been submitted to the Barcelona Planet Film Festival. So you're already starting out on a good track with Assassin's Apprentice. So, but is this, like you said, is this where if there's enough legwork and enough interest, you might actually look at doing something more with that? Is that what you commented on?
With Assassin's Apprentice?
Right.
Basically it's there's a feature film already.
Okay. So it has been done.
Picardo and Sirtis are both signed on.
Okay.
So, you know, it's just, yeah, you know, they do understand, you know, using their names in the film, it helps to, you know, get the funding, basically. So, so what we want to do is show them what we can do with the sizzle reel, it's called. And that's what The Assassin's Apprentice is. So, yeah.
Cool. So you're going to get a little old homecoming for all the Star Trek actors and bring in more in?
Yeah.
I know Tim Roth. I think it's Tim Roth or Tim Russ. He does a lot of films still, and even some fan films.
Yeah.
So he's out there. So some of the older actors have done doing some spots. I think Nichelle, she's done some smaller roles. So hey, you never know. And you did say you mentioned her, so you got that connection.
Yeah.
And when I said Russ mentioned her, that was in the last interview. Sorry, everybody. My bad.
Okay. I think you were talking to Parallel Russ.
Yes, there you go.
The other Russ.
Now, you don't know how close I came to using that picture on the post last time, because I actually found that picture.
Oh, really?
Yes, I did. But I was like, no, I better not. They might not appreciate that.
I'm no curious.
You have to go back and listen to the episode. But yeah, with everything that's happening, you've worked with Brianna and Michael, and of course you've worked with the writers and everything. Are there other projects with your actors or Julia? Like you said, you use some other. Are you going to be doing some other projects with them that are
with Julia?
Julia, oh, yeah. Or maybe even the actors, Brianna and Michael. Anything with them?
Right now, Julia is writing Occupants 2.
Mm-hmm. Didn't know if you'd want to say that or not. So
I thought he said that last time.
He did, but
did you edit it?
Yeah.
No.
Oh. So I guess it doesn't matter.
So cool. Okay.
That's awesome to hear.
So you're going to be, I can't go into that. I was going to say you're going to be bringing those two back, but I'm sure you don't want to do any
I thought you weren't going to go into that.
That's what I said. Yeah.
No, so cut
this part out. Are you doing any other films with these two actors, Brianna and Michael, though?
What, say that one more time?
With Brianna and Michael, are you going to bring them back maybe for some other different films?
If there's a right part for them, yes. There just isn't a right part yet, and that's the problem. Okay. But yes, I would love to work with them again. You know, it's basically, you have to cast. You just don't, you know, shoehorn somebody in. So,
right.
They have to be right for that role. So that's where we are right now.
Okay.
You should tell that.
But I talked to them about Occupants 2 already, and they're well aware that it's being written by Julia.
Okay.
When you're talking about shoehorning an actor into something, are you aware of Tim Burton?
And, oh, Tim Burton
and John and Johnny Depp and how
that doesn't
Johnny
count. They're not real people. They're not
real. Well, yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true.
Robots that the mouse made in a lab don't count.
He does like to work with them a lot, doesn't he?
That's what I was.
It's, yeah. It's a little creepy at yeah. this point. I'm starting to get a little creeped out.
That's well, what, you know, if he had done Batman Forever, then I think he would have cast Johnny Depp as the Riddler, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, I'm sure.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really wish Tim Burton would have stuck around for Batman Forever. It's kind of a limit.
So does anyway. The rest of the world.
Yeah.
True. Afraid so. Yes.
But, I mean.
And Batman and Robin just need to just put that in.
Most people have to go through casting calls and stuff like that. Most people. There are a few who don't, but most people do.
Right.
So you got your work planned out for you for a little while then.
Yeah, you could say that. Totally.
And I think I just want to make mention of this because I love it, and she's probably going to hate me for doing this, but Jennifer Durst. I love the credit she gets. She's Evil Hands. That's
just, she's Evil Hands. Well, here's the funny thing about Jennifer Durst. Jennifer Durst is Evil Hands in Occupants.
Mm-hmm.
She's, we call her Creepy Hands in Assassin's Apprentice. And then she's Praying Hands in Collar.
I can't say anything about that. But I know who you're talking about.
But that's pretty much... Who's ringing?
Oh, that's you, bro.
I thought
I turned
that down.
Oh, okay. That's
vibration.
That's I can't work under these conditions.
It was vibrating on the base of the microphone. I lost all audio.
Sorry.
Put that on silent now. I thought I had it on silent, but
whatever you just did made this headphone work again.
It's magic. I know with the Occupants and everything, you didn't control distribution. And
yeah.
I assume that's probably one of the more frustrating or maybe not necessarily frustrating, but an easy feeling because you never know what's going to happen. So
do they
let you know when stuff is going to be happening, or you just kind of
no.
Oh, it's on the shelf?
No, I find, well, they do let us know in general, but like, for instance, with The Legends of Nathaya,
mm-hmm.
we didn't find out that it had a theatrical premiere in Germany until after the fact.
Huh.
So there you go.
When did that come out? Because I swear my sons watched that movie.
That was 2012, so...
Okay. You
know, has it been on Netflix at all?
I don't know. I don't...
You have it here? That's... Yeah. Okay, that's probably where my son saw it.
So that's kind of... As being a director, though, that's got to be a little frustrating, not knowing what's going to happen. But when it happens, it has to be exciting. Yeah, it
is. But, you know, I get pleasantly surprised.
Right.
When one of your films gets a 3D Blu-ray conversion, and you're like, okay. But, yeah, I mean, that's... basically, the distributor, he goes to the, as in Stuart Olson, is the head of ITN, is our distributor. He goes to these film markets, you know, in Cannes or Sundance or American Film Market. I mean, this guy goes around and he sells to the territories. That's the job of the distributor. So when it gets sold to Germany, they make a certain deal. And with Nathaya, that was the deal, I guess, you know, you get that 3D Blu-ray conversion, a theatrical release.
Huh. That's cool.
Was that this movie, Occupants?
No, that was a previous one that I did.
Legends.
Oh, okay.
Legend of Mathias. My bad. But yeah, but to me, it's kind of cool to see some of these smaller films come out, because did the cons kind of help push this and bring the notice about this? And is that hopefully will help your future projects? Because, you know, there's good work here, so I'm glad to see this actually out there now.
Well, yeah, it does help. It helps the distributor to help sell the film too. That, you know, that it is that people at the Comic Cons like it, or the film festival circuit, or that we won these various awards. It does help.
Okay.
It's like ammunition, you know, to help sell the film. So yes, it does help. It also brings awareness, and same thing with these interviews. And thank you again for having me on. But it helps to spread, you know, awareness about these films, about Occupants, about, you know, the fact that, you know, you can buy it on Amazon now. So it all helps. Trust me.
I definitely want to encourage everybody out there to pick up this film, because it's one of those that it's a pleasant surprise. I enjoyed it. I know that some of the people might say, well, it's another found film, but pick it up. The actors and directing, everything that's done with this is really well done. It's one of those that you'll be glad that you've seen it, and be sure to spread the word, because this is one that I think most people will enjoy.
And you almost don't notice it's a found film.
True, it's not necessarily. It's and to me, it's like this will appeal to a little bit more on it. You kind of slide it into the horror genre, but it's not a bloody, gory. So I think it's going to appeal to a more general audience. So I encourage everybody out there, take a look at it and spread the word that this is one film you don't want to miss and help Russ out. And then if you're interested, be sure to get with him on Indiegogo or GoFundMe or any of his other projects that he might have out there and help support him there. So definitely want to do that for Russ.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
You bet. And as Russ said, you can go to his website. It's russem.com, correct?
R-U-S-S-E-M, M as in Mary.com. So it's okay. A combination of my first and last name.
Okay. So you can go there, see everything that he's working on. Just for what we kind of mentioned tonight, occupantsthemovie.com is out there. You can go there just for the Occupants movie as well. But I do not believe there's any links to purchase. It's just informational. But like I said, you can go to Amazon.
No, there is.
Oh, there is? Actually, okay.
There's a link to both the DVD and the digital.
Very
cool.
You
know, get it digitally.
It's just that the first time we went there, digital cool. and stuff weren't actually out
yet. Okay. That's true.
So got it. Yeah, right now, if you go to the website, you will see two boxes on the left.
Okay.
That takes you to the Amazon pages.
Very cool. Is there any Indiegogos right now that you're working on, or are they pretty much put to bed until you dream up another idea?
Thankfully now, yes, no Indiegogo. They're very hard to run.
Okay.
So, yeah, right now we're good. I'm in post-production on Assassin's Apprentice and Collar. We got the funding for those films. They'll be done. We got the money for the Whisper project, so that will happen. There is one that will potentially come about soon. There's two. One called The Dollhouse.
Okay.
And that's like a horror feature that's being written by my producing partner Emil Harris, who happens to be the DP editor of Occupants, and we're working together on the Whisper project. Anyway, he's writing the Dollhouse feature script that we want to shoot in Macedonia, Ohio.
Okay.
The producer is Julie D'Alosio, and there's another project called Alien Cross. It's like a TV series concept being written by Sean Kenny and his wife Taki. Sean Kenny was the crippled Captain Pike.
Okay.
The original.
Wow.
It was the Menagerie, I think, was the episode.
Right, Menagerie.
So he also played like Lieutenant DePaul. So he's putting that together. He attached Gary Lockwood.
Okay.
These are all Star Trek veterans, but Gary Lockwood was in an episode of the original series. He was also 2001. That's probably where everybody knows him from.
Okay.
Olivia Diabo, she was in the episode of True Q on The Next Generation. And, you know, I know her from Law & Order Criminal Intent. But, you know, everybody knows her from somewhere else, you know. Oh. And then Anna Hatai, who was Molly on Star Trek Deep Space Nine. So we have those four actors that are attached to this project. And, yeah, basically I've been helping Sean and Taki put that together.
So you definitely do have the Star Trek ties there.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, with that, again, it was a recommendation from one of the producers, the co-producer of Assassin's Apprentice, Ed Maurer.
Cool.
He recommended me to them.
Okay,
that, very that's cool. why. That's how it happened, you know. I mean, I'm just very grateful that people are recommending me, so.
That's very cool. So yeah. Glad that's to hear awesome. That happening.
No, I'm just, it's just, you know, it's, you know, I mean, it's, I work hard. I won't deny that, but, you know, there's luck. You know, there's, you know, sometimes the stars align, sometimes they don't, you know. You just never know, so.
That is true.
I'm just really grateful it did with Occupants.
That is true. Well, congratulations with all of the awards. Well deserved. And like I said,
thank you.
Definitely congratulations on getting it distributed here in the North American market. So that's really cool. Really, really cool.
Thank you.
And we're going to be wrapping up. We've taken up Russ's time. He's been kind enough to jump on with us and take the time out of his busy schedule. So definitely thank you for doing that with us, Russ.
Oh, no, this is great. I really appreciate that you wanted me on again, you know, second time. Second time's the charm, right?
There you go.
Or maybe third?
We'll go there.
We've had people go on for multiple before, so yeah, go for it.
We'll definitely keep in touch, that's for sure.
Definitely.
We've been having fun. We hope everybody's been having fun listening to us discuss Occupants and a few of Russ's other projects in the works. Again, Russ Emanuel, go to his website, russem.com. That's russem.com. For the movie Occupants, you can go to occupantsthemovie.com and read up on that and have a link to go purchase the movie there as well and support him out in his endeavors. So, everybody, thank you for joining us. We'll catch you on the flip side. Bye.
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 Thank you. Bye.
See ya.
Come along with me and don't be scared. I just want to set you free. Come on, come on, come on. You and me can make it anywhere. But for now, we can stay here for a while. Cause you know, I just want to see you smile. No matter where you go, you know you're not alone. I'm only one call away. I'll be there to save the day. Superman got nothing on me. I'm only one call away.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.